You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Thou hast fully known my teaching and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, is proper for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped with a view toward all good work. Now I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge those made alive and dead at his divine intervention and his government. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure healthy teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall turn into fables. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen. Thinking together now, looking at this last of the letters that Paul wrote concerning that sacred secret that was revealed to him concerning us. He reminds us in the first, as he wrote to Timothy, who was at Ephesus at that time, that his ministry was pretty well rejected by the organized church of that day. And hence he says, "This thou knowest, that all those in Asia be turned away from me." That's the first chapter in verse 15. Therefore he instructs Timothy to seek out men who are faithful, who are able, not novices, but to teach the grace of God. And he tells them by way of illustration to a good soldier, a good husbandman, and so on. And then he tells them the way in which this is to be done is to be done by rightly dividing the truth. It is keeping everything in its proper context, considering every scripture that had to do with that particular subject matter. Then he shows the reverse of that to those who do not and ought to be ashamed, inasmuch as he uses several examples here of people who have erred in their way. And he tells us to be patient with them. We may be able, by the grace of God, to get them out of the snare of the devil that they've gotten themselves into. And then he moves on from the present day of which Timothy and Paul were to the last days in chapter 3, and getting there and through the nine verses, he outlines things that will be prevalent in the last days. And they couldn't be any clearer if they were written on our front page headlines as to what group of people is talking about. Thank God for the ninth verse, though, that God is going to expose the lie. He's going to make it clear. I was reading in the Psalms. Turn, if you will, for just a second to the 64th Psalm. I think the Spirit of God must have had this psalm in mind when Timothy wrote what he did in the revelation concerning the secret. This is the sweet psalmist David, Psalm 64. Listen carefully. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. They whet their tongue like a sword, and bend their arrows to shoot like arrows, even bitter words, that they may they shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But, here's one of those wonderful words, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly shall they be wounded. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the word of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doings. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord, shall trust in him, all the upright in heart shall glory. So even though the 9 verses of chapter 3 point to, yet there's coming a time, and verse 9 tells us that, when God shall shoot at them, make their own tongue fall upon their own self. And Paul continues on as our lesson begins in verse 2, showing what a contrast it is between what he teaches and what will be in the end. I've fully known my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, why I'm doing all this, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, and my patience. He speaks of his persecutions in verse 11. And then verse 12 is one we should take very soberly. Yea, all, not some, but all, who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers shall act worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So let me assure you, until God does intervene, until God does shoot his arrows, it isn't going to get better, beloved, it's going to get worse. The men are going on deceiving themselves and being deceived, and deceivers along with it. It's going to get worse and worse. That's a gloomy picture. But thank God for verse 9. They should proceed no further, for their folly should be manifest to all. Thank God for that. Of course, we know that can't be too long. At least we trust it isn't. But he gives now the direction, coming back to what he turned on in right division. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's not just a salvation to get saved, but it says the word salvation has an idea of deliverance too, so that we should be delivered from this present evil age. Inasmuch as while we're in the world, we're not of the world. That's important for you to remember. And these next few verses are vital to your life. All scripture is God-breathed. In other words, God did not inspire men, he inspired his word. And he breathed it into the heart and the mind of those who were to write. Let me repeat that. We speak about men being inspired of God. It made no difference whether they were inspired men or not. The word was inspired. That's what counted. Because it was God breathed into them. Many men are inspired to write and do great things today. That doesn't mean that God did it. But in this case here, God breathed into them. They didn't have to be inspired then. The word became inspired. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now here is all the equipment you need, is verse 17. All this is done in order that the man of God may be complete. That means to lack nothing. That you may be fully equipped unto all good works. All your equipment is right here. You don't have to go to psychological classes or anything else. You just can come right here and learn from the Word of God. That's all the equipment you need. Now, after having said all this, keep in mind that see next week, Paul is going to be going to the guillotine, if tradition is correct. And historically, this took place about 6 to 8 weeks after this book was written. And Timothy was left at Ephesus as the bishop there. That was in Asia, where God's people had turned away from Paul. They could not stand the completeness of grace. Man always has to think he has to do something on top of what God has done. God's done a completed work, a finished work. And we need nothing but Christ. It's in the beholding of Him that we're changed from one glory to another. Notice carefully, and I quote, "Beholding Him, we're changed one glory to another." So that in this last word, the last instructions, keeping in mind that this is God-breathed, what it mean or what Paul thought about it, he is speaking the words of God. "I charge you, Timothy." That charge comes raining down the courses of ages, and because it's to us too. He also charged Timothy to seek out men that could be relied upon to teach grace. Second chapter. But now, as he closes these final words, his charge comes to us right straight like a bolt of lightning. With all this equipment that's laid down for us, I charge you before God, who should judge those that have been quickened, made alive, and those that are dead, at His divine intervention, under His government, where kingdom means a government. Therefore, preach the word. Not your philosophical things, but preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. But never forget to be long-suffering and patient. We had a young man on the radio call us yesterday. I think it's the second time he's called us. Getting in an argument about the creation story. I guess we're going to have to stop those arguments because they don't accomplish anything. He was very sincere, but he believes that this planet is just 6,000 years old, and that's all there is to it. And this is a position that's hard to defend. We don't have to do that. The Scripture gives the Scripture to show otherwise. But in any case, we have to be long-suffering in our teaching, to be patient. In the future, when a young man calls in, we just have to tell him that this is not a forum to argue on, but if he really is serious, wants to, we'll meet with him and have dinner with him and discuss these things in the same way. But it must be based upon the Scripture. We've got too many people trying to base things on scientific investigation, and we don't have the facts. And so there's no use looking at that, but we do have the Word of God. And that's all the fact we need. I listened to a man yesterday. He said, man calls himself an atheist. And in other words, he believes there's no God. Well, he made his statement. I never thought about it that way, but he's excellent. He said, you know what it means to say that there's no God? It means that if you can really say that honestly and mean it, that you have knowledge of everything in the universe. You investigate everything there is to be known. You know all the facts of everything. Therefore, you can declare there's no God. And anybody could do all that would be what himself. He'd be God. So it's a contradiction of terms to say there's no God. I thought that a little bit ridiculous, but it sure carries it out, doesn't it? When a man says he don't believe that there's a God, says there's no God, he's contradicting himself. And that's why the Bible calls him what he really is. A fool has said in his heart that there's no God. It's a foolish statement. Because if he were in a position to prove there was no God, he'd have to be God himself.
Sonny. I never thought about that. It'd be very good.
And we honor how long-suffering with them as we teach. And for this simple reason, verse, for the time will come. It's referring back, I think, to the last days that he referred to earlier in this third chapter. When they will not endure healthy teaching, translated sound. And any work that is sound is healthy. It's good for you. And we've certainly come to that time. There is, I tell you, there's more different lines of teaching today than Carter had pills. Not peanuts, but pills. I'm not talking. But he jumped on him, that poor fellow, let him rest a while. But nevertheless, this is true. Everybody's got a teaching. And everybody's got its ears. And they want to hear what pleases them. And only the man that has the Spirit of God is attuned to that which will please him if he is a man who loves the truth. You know, it's amazing how many people think they love the truth, but they don't. Now, a lot of things about the truth I don't like because it condemns me. I don't like to be reminded of some of my faults. So I don't like that. That's truth, though. But in spite of the fact that this does exist, I can love the truth because I know the source from whence it came. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has said, I am the way, I am the, I am not a truth, I am the truth, I am the ball game, I am the source of it. He is the truth. Hence it is written in Colossians, and we study that letter, you remember, in chapter 2, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Only God could have that hidden in him, you know what I mean? You know, Vern? See, we can learn something from the world if we put it into context. It helps us. Paul used that quite frequently, the things that he was familiar with in the world, particularly the Greek games. We should use them wisely. But if they do illustrate a point, you do. Nothing has ever wasted with God. I think about the first 28 years of my life, what a mess it was, and still been a mess these last 45 years too, but The first 28 years was absolutely unbelievable. And yet, as I look back, many things have happened to me in those years that God allowed to be retained in my mind, that at the proper time and the proper place, they come into use. Don't you see? God doesn't waste it. He's a Scotsman. I'm glad I'm a Scotsman. Anyway, that's right. He doesn't waste anything. And we teach healthy teaching. And the Word of God is healthy for His people. It's because we don't take the medicine, though. Sometimes we get sick. The Word of God is the medicine we need. You know, death is working us. That's the source of all our sickness. We're all sick to death. Think about that. Every one of us is sick to death. Thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is a healing blood. It won't be the kind of healing we're hearing about on radio. It'll be the kind of healing that's permanent. I'm talking to a party with his mouth full of false teeth and glasses on and everything, telling me what a great healing he had. I said, I can see it. You have evidence of it. Your mouth and your eyes too. You tell me real good. The only time you ever have any healing, if he's in Christ, is when God breaks the seal, and he is a perfect man, and he'll be healed and really will. And the exegete of Christ would do that. And God chooses in his mercy to spare your life while you're sick sometime. Just be grateful for it. But that's not the healing God's talking about. The real healing is a real one. A time in which you will run and not be weary. You'll walk and you'll not faint. Think about such a time when you'll never get tired.
will be sharp all the time. I just can't hardly accept that, but that's what the scripture tells us. And I don't have to understand it, I just have to believe it. We need to teach a sound doctrine, a healthy teaching, one that's full orb, that teaches the whole, not just some aspect of something. Because no scripture is of a private interpretation. It needs all scripture with it. Otherwise, we teach error. We do not rightly divide the scripture. But man being what he is, the time comes when they shall not endure healthy teaching. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves, and lust, if there's something you want real bad, you lust after it, you covet it. And they'll give you any price, makes no difference. They gotta have an experience. Most of religious life today is based on experience. Not upon what thus saith the Lord, but so whatever some experience they had. And if they really did have an experience, I'll just say, thank God, I'm glad you shined on me this time, you know. But it's not something I go out here and teach, a teaching, to build teaching upon, not at all. But I've just been very gracious to you, that's all. And be very grateful for it. But don't turn around and turn that gracious act of God into a false teaching. It gets you in trouble, man. But in this day and age, everybody wants an experience. I made mention last week, the world is in a chaotic condition as far as government. And I was amazed when I saw that ad in the paper, and not the paper, but the U.S. News and World Report. On the front page, you just open the book up. If you weren't here last week, I think I told you about it. Here, this guy from India, he's a guru, Mahatma, somebody, and this guy lives out in the state of Oregon somewhere. And at long last, he has condescended to teach the governments of the world how to have peace and security, prosperity, and happiness. And he's running an ad in the U.S. News and World Report to that effect. Can you talk about God? Now, this is the man who comes from a land. The people are starving to death. They got cattle on the street, and they won't feed their people. Now, that's the kind of a man that's coming here to teach us how to run and take care of the world. And this is ridiculous, but notice, it's all based on experience. Now, this is what, we laugh at these things, but the basis of that is what's called transcendental meditation. What you do, first off, you have to acknowledge your teacher when you come into the class. That's the guru himself, because he is acknowledging the guru that taught him right on the back. Once you do that, you sit and meditate, get every thought out of your whole mind. In other words, your mind becomes a blank. And then you know who takes over? Well, the scripture tells us that the God of this world, like a roaring lion, is out to get anybody he can. And you get your mind where you no longer think. You quit thinking. God says we need the helmet of salvation on our head all the time. You can't empty it. Because if you do empty it, the enemy's going to fill it. You better think. Begin to think. That's why I want you to pray about these films. It'll cause you to think seriously about events as they take place today and how they will affect your life in the light of what God's Word says. But you need to think soundly, healthy thoughts. And those who do not will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Ever learning, as we learned last week, ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth. People are running to and fro throughout this whole world trying to find the answer. And I see a couple of years back, Christian people had on the back of their cars said, Christ is the answer. But they never asked the question. You see, you got to have a question before you have an answer. Christ is the answer, but you have to find out what the question is, and that's what they don't know. That's why we need our program. What's the question? Anyhow, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. As we turn them to fables. And we have it. I hear people give testimonies that
It's contrary to what God is doing now. An experience that they have. And it's an insult to them when I say, yes, I don't question you had that experience. And it could be from God. On the other hand, I can take the witch doctors of Africa and produce the same thing. You see, people have come to a place where they think anything that's supernatural must be an act of God. The only time God acts is according to His Word. He never does anything apart from His Word of God. Always remember that. That's why we're told to try the spirits from which they are. It must be according to His Word, right and divided too, as to who it's speaking to, concerning what time, and concerning the administrations of God. And people who ignore these facts leave themselves wide open to every bit of heresy and fallibility that you can imagine. Many of God's people are involved in these things too, because they lust after these things. They have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. And the Assemblies of God, I'm not speaking of the organization, the Church of God, whatever you want to call it, has accommodated itself. They have programs to meet every need. They have gymnasiums, they have basketball, baseball, and everything else. I love basketball, and we don't care too much about basketball, I love baseball. But it's not the prerogative of the church to do these things. But they've all got a program. They've got something for everybody. This was the last kicker I ever heard, and this happened right here about 3 weeks ago. Two ladies came to the film we had about overseas. They looked at me and said, you know, this church where they're going, they're teaching them how to speak in tongues. They got classes. Now, if tongues were operative today, it's a gift of God. It isn't something you have to learn. I couldn't have been in my ears. Now, I'm supposed to have an appointment with these people one of these days to help them let to see what the Word of God has to say about it. So far, they've not been able to get together. They're ladies that are very busy, you know, and most of them are. But this is important to them. But it's not that important that they got to get right to it. You see, that's ridiculous to be having a program like that to teach people how to talk in tongues. See, that's silly. If it were operative today, it would be wrong. Well, it's time to quit. 12 o'clock. We'll pick up here next week. And we'll see that Paul, facing the guillotine, the spirit of the man, with all outwardly everything looks as if it's crumbling. Put yourself a keen eye next week when we look at his last commitment before death. Think with me, and then you'll be ready for next week. Here a man in this first chapter of 2 Timothy tells us that all those in Asia be turned away from him. This was the heart of his ministry, because that's where the Word of God went throughout the whole continent of Asia. From Epsom. That in alone would discourage the man of no end. Then he writes Timothy as he throws a torch at Timothy. I'm in charge of you now with this great responsibility. Next week we'll learn about his thinking right to the end. And he was never the defeated one. He was the victor, and he makes his proclamation as he leaves this old planet. And we should be able to do the same thing. Even if the whole world were caving in and our city's on fire, we can still proclaim with Paul the same attitude of mind. See that next week. This privilege that we have here and the time that we have here, we pray that whatever that is, that we'll be found faithful right to the end, including the end. Help us to reach this goal as Paul strived and agonized, and we ought to too. And to take force as you continue to bless. These graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.
His name is one. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.